This is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. This week, JP Morgan boss Jamie Dimon was in Paris inaugurating the U.S. bank's new European hub. French President Emmanuel Macron was on hand to welcome the move. He's been courting financial firms to shift to Paris in an effort to transform the city into Europe's post-Brexit financial center. Though JP Morgan will retain a substantial presence in London, 800 staff members are expected to be based in Paris by the end of next year. It's a move many other financial firms are making, too. About 7,500 jobs have shifted away from London since its European Union divorce. To stem that slow trickle and in a move to bolster the British capital's dominance in the industry, the UK government this week unveiled a plan to sharpen the sector's competitive advantage in a post-Brexit world. Part of the way forward involves closer ties with Asia and the US. Nicola Watkinson is Managing Director of International Trade and Investment at the Citi UK, which represents Britain's financial services industry. She explains what a successful post-Brexit strategy could look like.
The reality is that the UK recognises that 95% odd of global economic growth going forward is going to be outside of the EU. Markets like the US and growing markets across Asia represent an extraordinarily important opportunity for the UK to grow its global position. The US, of course, is extraordinarily important to the UK, whether that be around areas such as technology and innovation, but increasingly around areas like green finance as well, particularly under the Biden administration, as we really see a strong push towards net zero.
Does it look like those are things the UK is already focusing on with Asia and the US?
Absolutely, whether it be with India, or with Japan and Singapore, with Canada, with the US and other markets. If the UK and the US join forces, because we have the two largest global financial centres in the world, if we work together for global standards, whether it be around green finance or around technology, we can actually pull in many other markets behind us.
And how quickly do you think some of these new partnerships could come to fruition?
I think some of this can happen quite quickly. In the lead up to big events like the COP26 in November, you can see the US and the UK really pushing forward with a shared agenda around a lot of these areas. In terms of other free trade agreements, you've seen a huge impetus behind the UK's efforts to forge new trade agreements with the US neighbours of Canada and Mexico, but is also obviously talking to Australia, to New Zealand, and to a range of other markets, and really pushing forward on exciting new areas of free trade agreements, such as digital provisions, which are increasingly important, especially when you think that the UK's economy is about 80% services.
So could these partnerships with North America, with Asia, make up for losses that the UK could see without permanent equivalence with Europe?
I think it's not necessarily an either or, but future growth for the UK will focus a lot into the Indo-Pacific area, as well as with the US, Japan, Singapore, and other like-minded countries. But the UK will also work very hard to preserve and build its relationships with the EU and seek to continue to partner together wherever that can be possible.
Nicola Watkinson from the Citi UK, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much.